Thank you, John. A godly mother with godly love is a treasure from above. Are you grateful for your mothers today? Amen. Some of you grew up in a Christian home and you had a great Christian mother, but some of you didn't. Some of you did not have that Christian home, but I suspect, I'm guessing, that there's probably some godly mother along the way that invested in you, that spent some time talking with you and sharing you about what it meant to be a Christian or what it meant to be a believer, to live a holy life. Godly mothers. We love our godly mothers. Moms can change the world. Now, sometimes when we say we're going to change the world, what we mean is we're going to try to change one person at a time. And that's what moms do best. They change the world, but they change them maybe one person, one little kid, one child at a time. Sometimes there are those mothers that are able to speak to larger groups and they're able to impact several people all at once. But when we talk about mothers changing the world, it's usually one person at a time. Mothers can change the world. For some, it can be bad. They can change the world for the worse. They can abuse and they can neglect and they can raise up a child who turns into an adult who goes on to do wicked and ungodly things. But for others, it can be good. They can lead their young person into a good business acumen and how to be diligent in their work life. And that young person can grow up, start a company, and impact more people and hire on more people and have a greater impact. For other mothers are nurturers, and they invest in their young person, and they lead them to know the Lord and lead them to know what it means to follow after the Word of God. Mothers are nurturers. They're leaders in the home, leaders in the family. They're examples in the church. A godly mother is a bountiful treasure, and today I want to point out four scriptural principles about mothers. Four scriptural principles about mothers. We're going to look at a lot of the Bible today, so hopefully you have your Bibles or your Bible apps ready to go. And of course, we have it on the screen for you, but we're going to look at a lot of scripture concerning mothers today. Number one, moms of faith can change the world. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And if you have your Bible apps, just keep them right there in 2 Timothy for a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, remembering the genuine faith. So Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's grateful for the faith that was in Timothy. Remembering the genuine faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and that I am persuaded lives in you also. This genuine faith, this absolute real Bible-believing faith, believing in Jesus, following after the Lord, doing what His Word said, a genuine faith which began with the grandmother. And the grandmother went on to live it and to pass it on to the mother. And the mother went on to live it and pass it on to the son. They lived it and they taught it. Where did he get it from? From watching, from listening. The example was set. The words were spoken. He learned what it meant to be a follower of the Lord from his mother and from his grandmother, that genuine faith there which was passed on. And if you skip over a couple chapters to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, but continue in the things you have learned and have been assured of, knowing those from whom you have learned them, and since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It was learned. From a young age, he learned it. Since childhood, he learned what it meant to be a believer, to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He learned it from the Word of God. It was in the Word where you can learn about Jesus. And they were people of faith, his mom, his grandmother. They knew the Word and were able to pass it on to him. And it gave him wisdom unto salvation. through his mother, through his grandmother, through the faith that they lived and they shared, he learned how to be saved, how to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, how to follow in God's word. These are mothers that were living and impacting their kids, and today our mothers can live according to God's word and impact their kids and also others, that they too would know what it means to be saved. Mothers living the word have a huge impact on people coming to know Jesus. You're some of the greatest evangelists in our church. You're able to share with your children and share with others what it means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus, how to live it, how to behave according to God's word. When General Grant's mother died in Jersey in 1883, he said to the minister that was officiating the funeral, he said this, "Make no reference to me. She owed nothing to me. Don't make any reference to any post I have occupied or any other or any honors that I have been that have been paid to me. Speak of her just as she was, a pure-minded, simple-hearted, earnest Christian." Think of the impact that you as a mother can have on the young people all around you. It impacts them for life. Not just that as a child, it impacts them for life. When they are old, it impacts them. You are some of the greatest influences in our church today. And with that same breath, Paul goes on, and he says there in chapter 3, all scripture. What has Paul learned? What was passed on to him? What did his grandmother pass on? What did his mother pass on? Well, this is it. All scripture. The word of God was passed on to him. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can just hear it. His mother and his grandmother, what were they passing on? God's word, teaching God's word, using the word of God to instruct him. God's word is profitable. It's good for teaching. And how do we teach? Not just with our words, but with also with our lives. We teach by our example. You teach by your example. Your young people know if you're a believer, not just because of what you say, but because of how you live, how you act. They know you're a believer and a Christian. They know if you're following God's word because they see how you follow God's word. You could ask yourself, am I a believer in God's word? And the answer will come, well, am I living according to God's word? And they see that. You are the greatest teacher in their lives of what it means to be a believer in God's word. These women of faith, they knew it was profitable for life's lessons. It was profitable for reproof. Reproof. Sometimes we think that word reproof means to rebuke, but that's not actually what the word means. It actually has to do with inner conviction. That word reproof deals with the conviction in our heart. And what do? When we reprove, we are reproving. We are proving to you, bringing that inner conviction in your heart, yes, the Lord is real. Yes, his word is great and awesome, and God is faithful. You are proving that in their life, bringing that inner conviction in their heart. You don't believe me, look it up, look at the Greek. That's what it means, inner conviction, conviction. The next word deals with the correction. God's word is profitable for correction. You can picture these women not only proving it in their lives, but bring correction into their lives. Correction is the idea of changing the course, getting them back on course, just like a pilot needs to correct their course. You mothers speaking into their lives are bringing that correction into their lives. And you fathers too. They knew it was profitable for a holy life, for instruction into righteousness, how to live holy, how to be a holy believer, a set-apart believer, not just somebody that believes the word but goes on to live whatever way that I want. But these women knew that God's word could be used to teach these young people to live according to God's word, holy lives. Moms of faith. Which leads me to my next scriptural principle. Moms that teach and mentor can change the world. Moms that teach and mentor can change the world. Flip over to Titus, Titus chapter 2. He says there, likewise, older women should be reverent in behavior, not be false accusers, not be enslaved to much wine, but teachers of good things. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be self-controlled, pure, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be dishonored. I still believe moms of faith, moms who follow God's word, are the greatest at molding this truth into our young people's lives. If you are a mother today and a believer in God's word, you are the greatest at molding these truths into our young people's lives, getting them to understand how to live according to God's word. These particular women teach good things. Good things. Good things which are according to God's word. Good things with great example in their life, how to live according to God's word. They teach good things, wise things, how to have wisdom in today's world. Specifically, this passage deals with our young women. I'm going to put my water up here and hopefully I don't knock it off like I normally do. Specifically, this deals with our young women, this passage does. And young women, they need to love, to learn how to love. To love their husbands, to love their children. And of course, these women of faith teach that, how to love. What does it mean to love your children? What does it mean to love your husband? They teach how to be self-controlled, how to live pure lives. Our young women need to know how to be self-controlled and how to live pure lives. These women of faith are passing on needed skills for life. I'm not going to go into the specifics that are mentioned here. But please understand that mothers of faith, godly women who follow God's word, are teaching these needed skills, necessary skills for living a good life. Number three, moms of prayer can change the world. Over in Acts chapter 16, it's the Sabbath day. And Paul's going out, says, on the Sabbath we went out of the city to a riverside where prayer was customarily offered. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had assembled, a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple fabric of the city of Thyatira. She worshipped God there, heard us. The Lord opened her heart to acknowledge what Paul said. When she and her household were baptized, she entreated us, saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and remain there. And she persuaded us, Paul says. It's interesting. These women were the ones who were praying. These women were the ones who were involved in that prayer meeting. Women are often some of the first ones to be involved in prayer. We have such great women of faith, women of prayer in this church. We have wonderful women who are involved, who are great prayer warriors in this church. Many praying women, and I'm grateful for every one of you. You are what upholds this church, undergirds this church, is that prayer life, that fantastic prayer life that some of you have. This praying woman led to the whole conversion of her family. Did you catch that? Here she is, a praying woman, Lydia, a seller of purple. She is a praying woman. She's at this prayer meeting, and they convince her, they influence her to understand who Jesus is, and she goes on and leads her whole household, every one of them, to receive Jesus as their Lord. She converted all of them. That is awesome. What a prayer warrior. It's because of that prayer life, I believe her whole household got to know Jesus. What an incredible prayer life. just incredible influence she had on her family. My mother and my grandmother were those kinds of women, and I speak of them often, and I'm grateful for them. I remember hearing my grandmother pray one time. We only saw her on a rare occasion because they lived in North Dakota, and here we all are on the West Coast. But whenever she came out, I remember she was in the bathroom crying out for her family, "Save my grandchildren." I just remember that. What an incredible prayer life. And my mother was the same way. I don't remember hearing her pray, but I know that she was praying. Every time she said, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you," and I believe it. She prayed for us. She prayed for her kids. There was a pastor in Ohio. When he was a young boy, he said he used to run around pretending to be a cowboy. And, had his boots and spurs on, and he's running around the house. And he remembers seeing the vacuum. Of course, he was taught the Word of God. He was in a Christian home. And he remembers seeing the vacuum was running, but nobody was there at the vacuum. And he thinks, "My mother was raptured," is what he thought as a young boy. "Where did my mother go? She must have been taken." You remember that passage where it said, you know, some were taken, some were left, right? And she must have been taken because she was a good woman. But then he hears this crying, and so he goes to where his mom had a closet, and he could hear this crying and wondering what's going on. He peeks into the closet, and there his mother is on her knees, sobbing, praying, "Save my boys, save my children, save my babies." What a powerful thing for a mother to be doing that, and what an impact that had in his life. What a powerful thing for a praying mother. His grandmother, he goes on to talk about his grandmother. His grandmother had a son named Willie, and Willie was an alcoholic, and Willie was not in church, and so his grandmother would pray, and he'd hear his grandmother pray, save my Willie, and she would pray and pray and pray for that boy. Well, Willie never accepted Jesus while she was alive. She never got to see him accept Jesus. But years later, when this young man is pastoring, he said Willie came into his church and this alcoholic finger went into the air to receive Jesus. A praying grandmother, a praying mother can change the world, if even only one person at a time. These are all women who believed in God's word in Mark 11. We know the scripture in Mark 11, 22, which says, Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God." These are women that believed that. They believed that they could have faith in God, that when they prayed, that God was faithful and that God would hear and that God would answer. "For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," and think of all the mountains that are in your lives, think of all the mountains that you are praying for, that your mother's praying for, your grandmother's praying for. They believe this, that when they say to this mountain, "Be removed and thrown into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That's what these women believe in, these mothers of prayer, these mothers of faith. They believe that God is hearing and answering prayer today, that God is faithful. They understand that importance of faith, and they need to trust that God is faithful. Man, this message is for you too. You can be a man of prayer. You can be a man of faith believing this scripture, that God is faithful, that when you pray, God hears and answers prayer today. They believe that God can actually believe in the Bible. They believe that the Bible is true. You can actually believe in it. Our faith is based on God's word. We have to fundamentally believe in this book. That God has not changed his mind. Sometimes we can feel like that. We read the Bible and we go, "Well, that was for then, and this, you know, God has not changed his mind. He is still faithful to his word." They believe they need to remove doubt out of their heart. They understand the reason for removing that doubt. Doubt is a faith killer. You cannot stand on God's word and claim, I believe it, when in your heart you're believing, I don't believe it. I don't really receive this. This isn't for me. If that's what's going on in your heart, you cannot stand on God's word. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises. How can you stand on the promises when you're standing off the promises? You can't have a foot on the promises and a foot off the promises at the same time. It doesn't work like that. You're either standing on them, removing doubt out of your heart, or you're believing the doubt and you're not standing on the promises. These women of faith, they understood the reason to remove doubt out of their heart, and they understood how to pray in faith. Moms of faith that teach faith, that pray, can change the world. If even one person at a time, one child at a time, you as a mom of faith can change the world. Which leads me to my fourth principle. And I know this isn't in line with what I'm preaching, but my fourth principle is honor your mother. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Mothers of faith, mothers that teach and mothers that pray and trust in God's word, they deserve to be honored. If you're that kind of mother here today and you're a woman of faith, you deserve to be honored. We are so grateful for you. You are one of the main reasons for the success in this church because of your prayers, because you're teaching, because you're leading. Mothers of faith. Of course, God's command does not specify mothers of faith. We understand that God's command is for all mothers. It is a promise to honor our parents. Honor your father. Honor your mother. It doesn't say whether they're good or bad or otherwise. It says this comes with a promise. Good life. A long life. It's one of the few commands. Actually, it's the only command of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. Honor your father, honor your mother, that you may live long, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So how do we do this? How do we honor our mother? Well, we honor with our words, and we honor with our actions. We honor by what we say, how we talk about them, what we say to them, what we say about them. Was she a good woman? Yes, she's a good mother. She's a mother worth honoring. But we also honor them with our actions. In some Oriental cultures, that's more important than your words, your actions. Probably important here too. How we honor them by what we do. We honor with our actions. Honor by following their good teaching. What did she teach you? Are you honoring what she taught you? Are you living in a way that honors what she taught you? I remember my mother used to always teach me, don't put your feet on the table. And to this very day, I hear myself saying it even now to my boys, you know, don't put your feet on the table. And I hear my mother, the moment it comes out my mouth, I hear my mother in it, don't put your feet on the table. Oh, that's my mother talking. I don't tell them that's my mother talking, but it is. It's my mother talking through me. I honor my mother today with my actions. Some of you might say, well, they don't deserve it. How do I honor a woman that wasn't good to me, that wasn't nice to me, was maybe abusive towards me? How do I honor this woman that doesn't deserve to be honored? How do I honor a dad that doesn't deserve to be honored? A man that may have been abusive? How do I honor my parents when they don't deserve that kind of honor? Well, you honor them by forgiving them. You providing that merciful forgiveness is a great way to honor your parents. When they don't deserve it, you can forgive them. You honor them by sharing Jesus with them. If you have a parent that doesn't know Jesus, not following God's word, you can be that person that shares Jesus with them. And you honor them. It honors Christ, and it honors them by sharing Jesus with them. That's how you honor somebody that doesn't deserve it. You forgive them. You share Jesus with them. You live the kind of example that they should have set for you. You can honor them that way too, by being the kind of person that they should have taught you to be. You honor them. In my own life, my family and I, they loved God's word. And that's something that dug deep into me. I honor my parents today, not just because God's called me to preach, but I honor my parents today because in everything I do, I remember things they shared to me from years ago about God's word. Even songs that my parents teach me. I loved children's church when I was a kid. I remember those songs to this day, and it impacts me. My mom was the leader, one of the song leaders for our children's church. And to this day, I remember those songs, and they influence me. I honor my mother by remembering those and living the example that they taught. They loved music. Both my parents loved music. I honor my parents today in loving music too. They loved family. I honor my parents today because I love family. What did your parents teach you? What did your grandparents teach you? How do you honor them today? We are to honor our father and our mother. These godly women of faith, they deserve to be honored. But it's a command for all. How do you honor them? It's a command, folks. It's not a request. God says, honor them. There's no request there. There's no maybe. There's no if you feel like it. It is a command. You are to honor your father and your mother. How do you do it? Think about that. Moms can change the world if even only one person at a time. We honor our mothers of faith who their faith is built upon God's word. We honor you today because of your example of living God's word. Mothers of faith can change the world by passing on that word. Mothers who teach God's word, we honor you today. You are doing a great thing for us by living that example, by sharing God's truth with us. Mothers who pray, who have faith in God's word and pray according to that, believing that God is faithful to his word, that God's word is true, we honor you today because you are a prayer warrior and you are needed for this church. We honor you today. Mothers of faith, mothers who teach, mothers of prayer can change the world if even only one person at a time. Today, let's honor our mothers. A mother's love, a mother's care, a mother's sigh, a mother's prayer, a mother's work, a mother's day, leaves little time for any play. A godly mother with godly love is a treasure from God above. A godly mother with godly care has God's help when she sighs a prayer. Worship team, as you come up, let's pray. Lord, we honor our mothers today. I know it's not quite Mother's Day, but we've chosen today to honor our mothers. And Lord, we're thankful for these women of faith in this church. And yes, your word teaches us to honor our parents, our mother and our father, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. Lord, help us to find ways to do that, even if we don't feel like they deserve it. Help us to obey your word to honor our parents. But Lord, I'm grateful for these women of faith in our church. I'm grateful for these women who are prayer warriors, these women who are teaching your word, these women who are living that example of believing your word, these women that have faith in you. We honor our mothers today. Lord, I ask especially that you bless these ladies. Bless all the women in our church, not just the mothers. Bless all the women in our church to live godly lives, to be that example to us. Lord, being a mom can be a struggle sometimes, especially when children aren't doing what they think they should be doing. Lord, it can be stressful and it can be hard. And Lord, I just pray that you bless these mothers in our church. Bless the grandmothers in our church who have such a heartache for some of the grandchildren who aren't following your word. Lord, bless our grandmothers. Lift up their spirits today, Lord. Strengthen their faith in your word. Thank you for these mothers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.